When we were talking about St. Stephen last week and being a fearless disciple proclaiming God's word, remember we talked about the Blessed Mother was a fearless disciple and how as a betrothed virgin she could have been stoned to death? Do you remember? She was fearless. And I just felt the need to follow that up and share this with you. Because this is the next step. Are you pleasing people or are you pleasing God? Pleasing people or pleasing God? Last week we heard how angry and furious the people were with Stephen because he proclaimed the gospel. And they stoned him to death because he preached Christ. And he called them stiff-necked people. You always resist the Holy Spirit. You men of uncircumcised hearts and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. And the pressure that we are under today in Ireland, in our church, even from within our church, is to please people instead of please God. Many of our clergy today are pleasing people instead of pleasing God. Many Catholics today, they go to Mass, are pleasing people instead of pleasing God. And that's the next stage we're going to as mission disciples. Because as we start to evangelize and bring people to this service and tell them about Christ, there'll come a point where you're going to have to choose, do I please my family or do I please God? And that's what it means to be a fearless disciple. Can you imagine what it must have been like for the Blessed Mother thinking, knowing as a betrothed virgin, she could be stoned for this? She didn't say, can you give me a few days, Gabriel? Can I think about this for a couple of days and check YouTube and see if anybody else has went through this? I don't think Joseph will be very happy about this, Gabriel. No, she was fearless. Be it done unto me according to your word. Please God, please people. And all of us are walking that tightrope right now. Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday, wherever you are, this coming week, you may find yourself in a situation you're going to have to choose, will I please God or will I please people? Galatians 1 verse 10, have we got it there for you? This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Galatians. Am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Quite profound words. In our church today, in our Catholic church, many have been preaching what people want instead of what they need. Many of our conversations have been taken away from the truth, and maybe many of us are giving people what they want instead of what they need. And I believe that prophetically that God has called each and every one of us as mission disciples to get this. You'll come to a point in your discipleship that where you stand for God publicly, as we learned last week, Jesus says, if you stand publicly for me, I'll stand publicly for you before my Father in heaven. We're a church in crisis. Catholic church is in crisis. There is a crisis going on. Because we've got so many people want to please the world. It's like the world is evangelizing the church. And politics are evangelizing the church. politics are demanding of the church, this is what you will do, this is what we demand of you, instead of the church preaching into politics. Instead of the church preaching into the world and standing for the word of God and the truth of God's word. It's not popular. It's never going to be popular today to be a follower of Jesus Christ. A couple of months ago, I was in a situation and somebody said to me, "Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only answer?" And I was put in a position. The company I was in were so demanding of me with their philosophy and their thinking about all the world religions and all the good people out there, and what about all the Muslims and what about Buddhists and what about all this? You say Jesus is the only answer. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus said, "No one can come to the Father except through me." That's a strong, strong word to stand on when the world demands us. There's so many ways to Jesus. I don't have to follow Jesus. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to repent. I don't have to do this. I can do what I want. That's not what the Bible teaches. No one can come to the Father except through me. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, we see the humanity and the divinity of Christ as wrestling. Jesus comes to the point where he says, "Is there any way, if you can take this cup from me, but nevertheless, let thy will be done." There wasn't any other way. There is no any other way for anybody to be saved. The Bible says in Acts 4 verse 12, "There is no other name under heaven in which men can be saved except the name of Jesus Christ, the man Jesus." But the world out there will tell us, no, it's okay to follow this and follow this and follow that movement and live this lifestyle. It's okay because we're going to heaven. No, you're not, according to the Bible, unless you repent. The first sermon that Peter gave at Pentecost, they cried out, "What must we do to be saved?" Peter says, "Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Repentance is not a very popular word today. Repentance. You want me to repent? I'm a good guy. I'm a good girl. I'll have a good life. The Bible says no one is good. And that's the next stage we're going to. And I'll tell you this, it's going to happen sooner rather than later. You're going to be put in a position. Will you please God? Or will you please people? We today in this service are living in a very prophetic time as we step out believing our call is to obey what the word of God says, to obey what our church teaches, to evangelize and to reach the lost. But the lost don't think they're lost. And they want us to agree with them instead of agreeing with what God's word says. And what's that next scripture, Seamus? The scripture says this: "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." Watch this. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Now here I'm going to say something's going to challenge you again. Many, many Catholics today would rather be more sensitive to their friends and family and the people they do life with than being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Shh, you can't say that. Shh, you can't say that. You can't say Jesus is the only way. You can't talk about morals and hell and heaven and hell and purity and forgiveness. You can't say that. Do you know every time you say that, you grieve the Holy Spirit. We would rather grieve him. We're more sensitive to him, to others, than we are to the Holy Spirit. And that's what it means to be a people pleaser or a God pleaser. St. Stephen could easily have been a people pleaser. At that point, when they started to come at him, he could have just dusted himself down and said, no, it's okay. I'll just say nothing. Stoned him to death because of what he said. You going to please people? Or are you going to please God? And pleasing God doesn't mean you hate people. Sometimes people think, oh, they're getting very, very serious down there. No, if you please God, you love people. Religious people who say they love God don't actually like people. They don't really want to be with people. If you want to please God, you will love people. And you will love them with your whole heart. You want to reach them. You want to do everything you possibly can to bring them to a service like this. Because you're pleasing God and you're loving people at the same time. But religiousness doesn't love people. Religiousness just wants to condemn people and be all pious. And that's the way we want it. We don't want, who are these people? Remember that letter of complaint, Father Jerry, last week? And there was all sorts of clientele there, and they couldn't get into the church. There was a big queue. Hallelujah! Thank God there's people coming to the church, and all sorts of clientele. Yes, sinners. You know what I mean? But because of that religious spirit, that's not what we want. They say they please God, but they don't like people. Pleasing God, you love people. Jesus just loved people. I only do what I see the Father doing, and he was a magnet for sinners to the point where the children were running to him. How many children today run to the bishop, to the priests and the guy up front? What kind of person is Jesus? But the children themselves ran to him. And the apostles were like the mafia. They were like kind of bodyguards. Get the kids away. Jesus is like, let the kids come to me. Come on, stop this. Suffer the little children. Let them, bring them to me. If you really are a God pleaser, you'll love people. You'll love to be with sinners. You'll love to be with them because you're going to get a chance to try and get an opportunity to preach the gospel to them. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Every time you and I ignore the opportunity to tell others about Jesus, we grieve the Holy Spirit. If you're more sensitive to your family and friends than you are to the Holy Spirit, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. All of us have been in that position. And all of us are getting pressed back. Don't you please God, you please me. Give me a God I want. Give me a service I want. Give me a Jesus that suits me. No, we need to give them a Jesus that they need. A Jesus that saves them and restores them and blesses them and encourages them. That's what we're called to do. Are you with me? You're very serious looking. This is a good sermon. I know it's strong, but actually it's good news, because when you actually think it through, when you please God, you actually do love people. I've been in so many churches where people say, oh, you know what? We are the holy ones. I remember getting asked to preach at I'll call it what it is. It's a Church of Scotland. And Scotland is very Protestant. They embraced the Reformation. The Church of Scotland, as a young preacher, I was asked, would you go and preach to the Church of Scotland? Yeah, I'll preach anywhere. And I went to preach to the Church of Scotland and I got absolutely no response whatsoever. Absolutely no response whatsoever. Nothing. And I was preaching good. I thought I was really preaching. I thought I was so good. I wanted to take notes myself. I was preaching up a storm. And this is what I got. Ranger supporters. That's right, the word. They must have known I was a Celtic supporter. And afterwards, I got a phone call from a Baptist friend. Terry, I heard you were preaching to the frozen chosen. And that's the first time I'd heard that expression. The frozen chosen. And that's in the church. People who think they're very, very pious. But there's no joy. There's no love. There's no excitement for the things of God. I had to queue to get in, and they were singing, and they were chanting, and they were praising. This is a letter of complaint. They were what? They were singing, and praising, and chanting. And there was a bishop there, and there was five priests, and there was a queue. Hallelujah. Where's the joy? Where's the excitement? It's a frozen chosen. And then the Baptist minister said to me, give it a few more visits, son, and keep bringing that fire, and you'll start to melt them. They'll start thawing out when the fire of God's word comes. And it's only through the fire of God's word that we can bring the message to people who are religious. Our biggest battle is religious people. It's not so much the lost. The people of Israel were so religious. They had the laws, the covenants, the Moses. They had everything. But all they ever did was complain. Complain about everything. Never happy. The Bible says in Psalm 78, they grieved the Holy One of Israel. Again and again, they grieved the Holy One of Israel. God's raining down bread. Are they happy with this bread? What's the flesh? God gives them flesh. God gives them Moses, takes them out of Egypt. And again and again, they grieve the Holy One of Israel. They keep complaining. Let me tell you something. I go to YouTube. I'm watching all this YouTube with Catholics complaining. Complain, 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 complain about everything. Complain about this, complain about that, complain about the Pope, complain about this. Everybody seems to be complaining, and everybody seems to be happy. Complaining. We should be so blessed just to be happy and be in the presence of God. And what we just heard from Father Jerry this morning, and the Eucharist, and the wonderful prayer and worship and the music, and everybody has an opinion, and everybody's so pious, they want to please people rather than please God. And that's not the way we want it. We want it this particular way, and we want church to be that particular way. Read your Bible. The church should be happy. This should be a happy time. We should be in worship and praise and singing. We should be celebrating the Mass. Amen. Not pollinating the Mass. Celebrating the Mass. This is exciting. Oh, Irish people don't celebrate, don't they? What about St. Patrick's Day? What about when Ireland got to the World Cup? Ole, 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 ole. Pubs were full of men singing and worshipping a football team. But this is reserved. We don't have this chanting and this praising and singing and hands raised and oh! It's not the way we want it. I wonder If you've ever read the Old Testament, the Bible says that King David, when he rediscovered the Ark of the Covenant, now the Ark of the Covenant was a box that God told Moses to make, and inside the box they put the Ten Commandments, they put the manna, and they put the rod of Aaron, representing the presence of God. And they carried the Ark of the Covenant with them everywhere, into battle. And everywhere the Ark was, God was. And the Bible tells you, here's some homework for you. Go home and read 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. The Bible says when David rediscovered the Ark, getting a bit of feedback here, of the covenant, he danced with all his might. He danced with all his might. Oh, that's liturgical abuse, we call that. That's liturgical abuse. Have you heard that one? He danced with all his might before the presence of God. The Bible says every six steps, he stopped and danced, and twirled about. He actually took all his clothes off, right down to his boxer shorts, dancing with all his might before the Lord, because he knew this is the presence of God, and he was so excited, praising and worshiping. The Bible says his wife, one of the frozen chosen, looked out the window and despised him with all her heart. She despised his worship. And the scripture says from that day on she became barren. She was barren the day she died. She was disgusted by his worship, by his praise and his worship. King David knew how to celebrate. And some people complain about charismatics. Go and read your Bible. And everything that our church stands for, and all our feasts that we celebrate, is all based in the Old Testament. Feasts, Passover, Pentecost, tabernacles, festivals, celebration, excitement, trumpets, harps, dancing, singing, celebration, celebrating the Mass. Are we going to just please God or please people? Read the Bible. How much God loves to be praised. God inhabits the praise of his people. The first Mass I came back to, nobody was talking to each other. Nobody was singing. They were just staring. No singing. No music. No talking. No peace of Christ. The early church had it in the Mass. Greet each other with a holy kiss. So Katie, have the peace of Christ among us. Just turn to your brother and recognize the anointing, the presence of God in them. We don't want that in this Mass. We're the frozen chosen. We want it this particular way. Who said it had to be that particular way? Who said that? King David would be probably excommunicated in most churches. Why? Because he was so excited about praising God and worshiping the Lord with all his might and all his heart. That's what we love to do. To praise him, to worship him, to give him the glory and the honour. And his father said, Jerry said, we're not going to stop. Nothing's going to stop us. We're going to keep on, keeping on, keeping on, and bringing the truth of the gospel, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no any other way to the Father except through him. We will be pleasing to God when we start proclaiming Christ as Lord. Have you got another scripture there for me? Amen. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that they may minister grace unto the hearers. The synod of synodality that we are going through, thank God for that, I'm all for that. After I heard so much complaining in all my life, I have to stop complaining. And speaking words and discouraging words. We're grieving the Holy Spirit. We need to please God. Just go on with just praising God, worshiping the Lord. Keep your speech right. Remember a few weeks ago we talked about gossip? Proverbs 6. God hates gossip. He hates it. How many people in our churches today and at our palaces, maybe even watching me today, are gossips about the service? Gossiping about Father Jerry. God hates it. God hates gossip. Oh, you've never went through a divorce. I've never drank too much. I've never taken a drug in my life. I've never done that. But you know what? You're a gossip. And you're causing so much trouble in your parish with your parish priest and your peep. Or you've been married for 50 years. Or you've done this, you've done that. And I do this, and I do that. And I come to the church. But you're a gossip. May God help us. Please God. Or please people. I don't want to be in that rank of complaining, complaining. Every day at the moment seems to be complaining about everything. But we're blessed. Are we blessed?
Yes.
And we're excited.
Yes.
And God is with us.
Yes.
And it's great to celebrate the Mass.
Yes.
Isn't it great to rejoice, to sing, and to worship, and have this freedom to be able to express our love for Jesus the way it should be? This is what God's trying to get us to do. And this is what I'm not making a very good job. I'm trying my best to get this over, but I'm trying to just building blocks. Last week, fearless disciples. Stand for God's word. No matter what, you're maybe going to get stoned, but stand for the word. Let the Blessed Mother stand for the word. Be it done unto me according to thy word. I may get stoned, do you know what? Be it done unto me. I am the handmaid of the Lord. That's what God is calling us to. And this is what I'm saying. Don't be a people pleaser. You're going to have to go public. You're going to have to go public. That's the next step for this group, Mission Disciples. Don't be afraid of your family. Don't be afraid of your work colleagues. Be a God pleaser. Please God first. Stand for him. If you stand for me before men, I will stand before my Father in heaven. And we saw that last week with St. Stephen, didn't we? Just before he died, he looked up and says, oh, I see Jesus standing up at the right hand of the Father. He saw Jesus standing. You're going to have to go public. Do you know the story of Nicodemus who came to Jesus at night time? And he said, Rabbi, we know you're a man of God because no one can perform the miracles you did. Jesus says, Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom. Unless you're born again, Nicodemus, you can't enter the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, a religious leader, hadn't a clue what he was talking about. So absorbed in his religious practices, hadn't a clue what he was talking about. And Jesus said, you are a religious leader and you don't understand these things. But you know what? He was inquiring. But he hadn't become public. He came to Jesus, the Bible says, at night time, when nobody could see, because he was a public figure. And the Bible says the same about Joseph of Arimathea. You know Joseph of Arimathea? John chapter 7 says that at one point, Joseph of Arimathea, he was trying to stand for Jesus, and I'm paraphrasing here, and the Pharisees turned and said, are you one of his number? Are you one of him? Are you a follower of his? And the Bible says he was a secret follower of Jesus. But they were still pleasing people. Still wouldn't come out and stand publicly for Jesus till the cross came. Till the cross. And the Bible tells us when Jesus died, it was Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea that took Christ from the cross. That was then going public. And Joseph of Arimathea gave him his grave. Now they became God pleasers. Pleasing God or pleasing people? Where are you today? Does it convict you? Does it challenge you? You know, scriptures are Seamus. Am I finished? I'll go to the next one. I'll finish this next one. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging on the cross. And God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgiveness of sin. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were furious and wrote to the archbishop. No, it doesn't say that. And wanted to put them to death. They were furious. We have to obey God rather than man. One final scripture before I finish. One after that, Seamus. One after that. One after that, I've preached that. Joshua. Joshua 24:15 says this. He stood up to the whole camp and he says, choose this day whom you shall serve. As for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord. As for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord. And Joshua knew that a lot of the people had been smuggling and smoked false gods and wooden carvings into their tents, starting to worship other gods. And he said, as for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord. That's the next step for all of us, to please God. Joshua 24, verse 15. Pleasing God or pleasing people. Amen. Are you okay with that? Are you going to please God or are you going to please people? Well, please God and bring people next week to hear this anointed teaching on fear. Amen? Are you okay with that so far? Let's stand and we'll just finish with some praise, Hosanna in the highest, and celebrate the Lord together and please God by praising him together. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Give thanks to the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Maybe someday we'll get Father Jerry dancing up and down the aisles. What do you think? Leading the dancing. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Father Jerry's got his dancing shoes ready.